Well, good morning. Good morning. Does everybody have a good? This is a tough day to get out of bed. You want to just stay under the covers and don't get out and deal with all that. But appreciate y'all being here. Amen. Amen. And so we have good heat here. So we got to try it every now and then. It's working. That's it. I did leave the water dripping a little bit because we got our new awesome piping hanging out of the ground now, so made sure we kept it just piping and not frozen. So anyway, this is about as cold here in about a week. We're going to be laughing at this, but not this week. Not this week. Some people like the cold and snow on TV or pictures. You know, I don't even really like it. I used to say, I like it from inside looking outside. I don't even like that anymore. I want to see it on a screen somewhere in another state, country, something like that. Anyway, but here we go. We get some of it. We get to enjoy our cold. How many like cold? A few of y'all do. Well, you're welcome. All right, hey, we're going on, we're going to continue on forgiveness, and I just, you know, I've said this already in this period of time, but it just, I marvel at God's timing and how I wish I could say I was that good of a planner, right? But when we started the Philemon series and I thought, you know, I wanted a shorter book that I could preach through this first couple months, month and a half or so, and kind of represent missions a little bit and just kind of have, so it was a shorter book that I could do that and kind of complete it. And so then when we're done with, after the missions conference, we could start something else and like that, because my series tend to get a little long, I've been told. So I thought we would do that, and I, of course, I know what the story is, and I kind of fit it, see that it could fit, but you know, this below the baseline, I didn't intend for it to be where it lined up, and really, I'll be honest, I didn't even notice it was the lesson on forgiveness. But the whole book of Philemon is on forgiveness. That's the story. That's the whole thing it's about. And then my wife had surgery, so we joined together on this, and it was a great time and for all of us. And so it's just, I just marvel at God's planning. Here's the thing, folks. God knows what we need more than we do. And sometimes when God lines, so we find these things kind of quite often. My wife, a lot of times, come home afterwards, after the morning message, she'll say, "You said exactly the same thing I said in Sunday school. You read the same verses and you did." And we don't share notes. I mean, we don't do any of that stuff. We don't kind of. And it's when you hear the same thing being repeated, I would say one thing, you think, man, our pastor is really smart. He really plans things well. Probably not. Sometimes I feel like I'm just trying to keep my head above water, and I don't have time to figure out all that extra stuff too, right? But when it comes together, it ought to put in our mind, God is trying to get something to me. God is trying to get something to me. In our church, maybe, but as us as individuals, God's trying to get something. And maybe you're the one sitting there thinking, man, is this all about me? Yeah, that's the answer. But here's the other thing. It's not just about you. It's about us together. And you're not the only one sitting in the congregation that needs what we're getting. But it is you. Amen. It is you. So get it. Take it. So forgiveness. And so we've been talking about forgiveness. And we've talked about, listen, reject Satan's what? Temptation. Reject his temptation. Satan wants to tempt you to be angry. Oh yeah, he does. He wants to tempt you to be angry. He wants you to sin in anger. He wants you to stay in anger. We talked about this. Instead, point number two was reflect biblical grace. Forgiveness is our opportunity to show the grace of God. Right? Do you deserve forgiveness? No. Does that person that needs forgiveness, do they deserve forgiveness? Absolutely not. No, not necessarily. But by me forgiving them, I am showing my awesome grace, right? No, I'm showing the grace of God. I'm showing the grace of God in our actions. And so we find that in our actions and in our words. And B, that's kind of where we ended off last week. Not only in our actions, but also in our words. So you're there on your outline there, where we're at together. Good. Roman numeral 2. Is it just 2 on yours? Okay, on mine it says Roman. Okay, main point 2, B, in our words, that's where we're at. Perhaps the area which we struggle, which we most struggle to respond with grace to those that have hurt us with, is with our words. Okay, with our words. That's where, you ever get caught, don't raise your hand, you ever get caught up with your words? And you say and you do things that you wish you wouldn't have, right? I've heard of people that's happened with them, right? Let's read again. I know we started this a little bit last week, but Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Can somebody read that for us, please? All right, corrupt. The word corrupt. Remember, I mentioned that at the end last week. It means rotten, putrefied, unfit for use. That's really what the meaning is. Those words, that corrupt communication. It's words that are unfit to be used. Unfit to be used by who? By anyone, but particularly a Christian. It ought not come out of a Christian's mouth. Why? Because we're talking about this. We ought to have the grace of God in us. And when some of that putrid communication comes out of us, it doesn't belong in our mouths. It doesn't belong in our mouths. Imagine that same mouth that you're going to want to tell somebody about the goodness of God, and you're going to be vomiting out other stuff out of the same mouth. It's just unfit. It's unfit. So when we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, it always comes out of our mouths. When we hold it, we think we're going to keep it, and I'm just going to be bitter, and it's going to stay right there, right? It doesn't stay there, does it? It doesn't stay there. It comes out of our mouth. And it may take a little bit of time before it does, but eventually our bitterness will spill out in the words we say. So when we say, later, it's going to come out later. I mentioned this last week. I got to read my own notes here. I wrote when I later say, I didn't really mean that. Right? When I said that to you, Brother John, I didn't really mean that. It's not really true, is it? It's actually what was in my heart. Now, you know what I really mean to say. What I really should say. I shouldn't have said that. That was cruel. And what I said to you was really about me. Something was in my heart. I was bitter. I was angry. And it caused. And when that sat in there and festered, grew. And it doesn't just stay. It doesn't get to a level and stay there. You ever sit there at night or sit there somewhere and you just keep thinking on it, right? You think on it. And it gets better when we think on it, doesn't it? It gets worse, doesn't it? And you realize how vile that other person was, right? That little thing they did, whatever it was. And you just, the more you think, next thing you know, when it finally gets out, because what happens is they think everything's fine to them. Hey, what's going on? It comes out. And it's just, and you know what needs to be said, Brother John, and said, listen, it's not, I didn't mean to say that. That wasn't about you, that was about me. It's about something that happened with what was going on with me, and I'm sorry. I shouldn't have got there, right? Did I mean it? I absolutely meant it. Why did I mean it? Because what got going on in me was corrupt. You're like, well, I don't really mean I hate you. I don't really mean, well, okay, maybe, right? You ever? No, no. But You know, kids will say that to parents. I hate you. No, probably not, hopefully not to your kids. My kids, if they said that, no. But I mean, sometimes we hear this kind of thing. We'll say stuff and just, ooh, it's out. And it comes later on, you say, I didn't mean that. It's not the right response. I didn't mean that. That just kind of says, well, it wasn't really me. It wasn't really me. It wasn't my. No, we own it a little bit. Say, you know, I shouldn't have said that. I let what happened stay with me. I held on to that. You know who the sinner is? Me, not you. Did they do something? Probably. Is there enough blame for them? Sure. But the problem is here, if I'm seeking forgiveness, if I'm going to forgive somebody, I can't undo or say what they did is the reason for me doing what I did. Right? I can say what they did is wrong. Amen. That's fine. But also what I've done was wrong. So we kind of see that situation. Okay, James chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Somebody read that for us, please.
Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter?
Yeah, the same mouth. I kind of jumped ahead, sorry. But this is what I was talking about there. It's the same mouth, blessings and cursings. Listen, that ought not be. It ought not be. Just like a little bit of poison will contaminate a whole water source, a little bitterness corrupts everything inside of us. Everything. We think sometimes we can compartmentalize. Right? I'm going to be angry over here, but happy over here. Or we're going to do something like this. I'm angry over here, and this will happen too. Watch this. I'm angry with Brother David. He did something. I'm so angry with him. But I'm going to be super friendly over here to John, right? And almost like compensating, like, I'm not an angry person. So see how nice I'm being? And he's like, wow, he's really being nice. This is super great. He's like buying me stuff, doing stuff. This is great. And what I'm doing, I'm compensating for my, but it's really taken over me. And so I'm doing really ridiculous things, and people are like, what is wrong? Are you all right? And then he's like, hey, are you all right? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. Why wouldn't I be all right? You know, like, okay, just asking. You're fine. Okay, go ahead, buy me lunch, whatever. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden there's this compensation, but it corrupts everything, doesn't it? It affects everything. Something's going on. And everyone around you, and you know, you're angry at something, and you start talking to other people, and you're like, whoa, what's going on? It affects us. It affects us everywhere. It is overwhelming, everything inside of us. So what ought to proceed out of our mouths is good communication for the use of what? Edifying. So how often should what we say, how percentage-wise, how much should build up? That's what edify means. And how much should tear down? I mean, 50-50?
All build up.
That's right. That's right. We're in a different life, folks. We're not like those that are dead in their trespasses and sins. We're those that have been redeemed. We have the Spirit of God indwelling us. So we ought not find any occasion to tear down. None. Now, do we ever find ourselves there? That one time a few years ago, I found myself there, right? No, we can find ourselves there. And what the scripture's saying is this, we ought not do that. It's never okay to tear somebody down with our words. Never. Never. What we ought to do instead is, do people need to be straightened out sometimes? Yeah, they do. Who's going to do the straightening out? Not me. That's not what God didn't call me to come straighten you out. You know, but John did some thing over there. I'm like, I got to let him know what he did, and he needs to be straightened out. There's never a place that's who we're supposed to be. Isn't that kind of what it says here? It ought not to be. Ought not to be so. The word edify says it really means this. It means to cause to grow. Think about that. Cause to grow. Our words should be good for others. I want you to think about what you're saying to somebody, and particularly when they, you ever said something to somebody and their countenance changed a little bit by what you said, and you're like, oh, what I was thinking and what came out doesn't seem to match what came on their face, right? And you realize, right then you ought to realize, I think I didn't say, I think they didn't hear what I, or I did, something didn't go right. Because what I just did didn't cause them to grow, it caused something else. So when we do that, what do? That's their problem. Isn't that often what we do though? Really? Say, well, they just need to figure it out. Because that's their problem. If they don't get me, they just need to figure out it because I am who I am, right? We could do that kind of thing. Well, we have that kind of tendency as humanity. And so, listen, our words should be good for others. Bitter and unforgiving words do not benefit anyone. We think sometimes that by just telling them, we kind of give them a little bit of our bitterness. We let a little bit come out. Because you know what I really want people to know? How hurt I am. I want them to know how hurt I am. And the way I'm going to let them know how hurt I am is I'm going to let a little bit of that bitterness come out. And I'm going to try to control it, right? I'm going to try to like open it up just a little bit because I don't want to let it all out. And because then I'm going to see, they'll see how big of a sinner I am. But I'm just going to let a little bit out and like, say a little something a little snarky, right? Just a little bit, well, whatever, if that's what you want, right? Well, and we just kind of do a little bit, just a little bit, and we think we're going to do a little bit. Listen, can I just say this? And what I am saying here is bitter words aren't helpful for anybody. So if Brother David did something really mean to me and I'm hurt, and my way to let him know I'm hurt is just to give a little bit of my bitterness back at him, right? Just a little bit. I'm just going to bring a little bit out. And just like, well, whatever, if that's what you want to do. And he's like, he's over there thinking like, I think Pastor's upset. He didn't even know. He didn't even know. And he's trying to figure out, why is he upset? And he's trying to think, what did I do? And he's over here hurt, beat up, tore down, trying to figure out what did I... And then he's thinking, you know, he's thinking, what can I do to fix it? He didn't even know what he did. He didn't know how to fix it. What did I... You know, and here I am. It's probably it was a little nothingness. And now here I am just giving something out. I'm just like... I'm now spraying like this... you know, shotgun just everywhere, and I want people to figure out what it is. Isn't it frustrating? It's a lot better. You're like, well, they just figure it's really frustrating when you're the one getting sprayed at. You're like, what is going on? How do I fix this? Here's my point, folks. That little bit of bitterness, any kind of, doesn't help anyone. It doesn't fix the situation. Doesn't fix it at all. Doesn't help it. Well, at least they know I'm mad. That doesn't help them either. That, by the way, it doesn't help you. Now what they're doing is they're walking on eggshells. Well, at least they're doing that. Something's wrong with us when we get to that place. But I'm going to say, okay, but what does, that doesn't help anyone. It doesn't benefit anyone. But kind words do. That's weird. This is a weird one. So Brother John has done something to hurt me. So I'm going to give him kind words. That doesn't fit an injured person, right? Because the saying goes, hurt people do what? Hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. That's the way it is. So typically, that's psychology and all this, sociology and all this says, hurt people hurt people. This is what usually when there's mass murders, they were hurt at home, right? Usually other hurt people hurt people. So, but with the Spirit of God, we're different when hurt people are going to be kind to people. And so, a kind word in this would be like, hey, sometimes we just let the whole thing go. It depends on how bad it is. If it's like, you know, they don't know this kind of thing. Let me go on. I get too much in the weeds because there's a lot here. So we live in a culture that is really good at tearing things down. Good at tearing things down. But Christians ought to be busy restoring life where the devils are trying to bring death. We've got to counterbalance that. So Mary had a tough day at school. She had a tough day at school one day and started complaining about it as soon as she got home, right? Which Mary is prone to do. You know Mary, right? Just pretend Mary. She moaned, "Nobody loves me. The whole school hates me. The whole world hates me." Her brother hardly looked up as he replied, "That's not true, Mary. Some people don't even know you." Oh, man. I guess that's her brother. So, edification is something that everyone needs. We need to be built up. We need to be in the business of edifying because each of us are ordained by God to be ministers of grace. So, our words are to be grace unto our hearers, building up, helpful in this way. A mature Christian can take a potentially big problem and do what with it? Make it smaller. Right? A carnal Christian will take a little issue and do what with it? Make a mountain out of a... Yeah, right? So, if I say this, if you are making mountains out of molehills, if every injury to you is a mountain, what does it tell you about your Christian life? The indication to you should be, I'm not where I think I am with Christ. Right? Because we all think we're mature Christians, right? Right? So if the injuries are massive, it ought to be an indicator to you, not an indicator to everybody. I'm not looking around, well, he's mature, not mature, carnal, you know. No. The mirror. Let this be an indicator to you. If I'm easily offended, if I'm looking to be offended, something's wrong with my relationship with the Lord. So if you get me upset quickly, it's not about you, is it? It's about my relationship with Him. So that ought to be an indicator for us. It ought to bring it to our attention. God wants to bestow the gift of goodwill and loving kindness to others. That's what God wants to do. Pouring grace on a situation brings a peaceful result. Right, where there shouldn't have been hurt, pour some grace on it. It's like, a watering can, right? So, are we watering the lives of others with grace so that they may grow? I'm talking about others that hurt us. Others that are injurious. That's a good word. Are we pouring grace? Are we watering them with the watering can unto their life, that of grace, so that they may grow? Or are we trampling on them and damaging their growth? What are we doing? They're already a punk. We know they're a punk, right? How do we know they're a punk? Because they hurt us, right? That's what punks do. They hurt people, right? Yeah. And they hurt us, so we know they're a punk. So what do I want somebody like that to do? I want them not to be a punk. What's the greatest way not to be a punk is to what? Grow in grace. Grow in their relationship with Christ. Somebody that gets closer to Christ gets further away from being a punk. Right? Like, what's a punk? I don't know. I just came up with that word. All right. So somebody that's an immature Christian is going to behave like an immature Christian. They're going to be carnal. So you know what the greatest thing I want for them? I want them to grow in their relationship with Christ. So if you're hurtful to me, man, this guy's always hurting me. You know what I want to do? I want to help him to grow in Christ so he'll quit hurting me. Right? Wasn't that great? Well, no, I just want to trample him so he quits. Well, it doesn't really work like that. Matter of fact, the more I trample his Christian growth, the more he is punk. Yeah, isn't that funny how that works? We can get our head mixed up around that sometimes, don't we? Let's help them grow in this thing. Of course, our nature tends to be better at finding the negative than the positive. Right? That's so true. Sometimes it's easier to see what is wrong than what is right. Man, which is so true. We're all like that, aren't we? Well, I am. That's for sure. Thus, we must invest intentional effort in giving grace to others through our words. Intentional. Got to be intentional in this thing. The best example of ministering grace in our speech was this fellow by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Luke chapter 4, verse 22. Can somebody read that one for us?
And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son?
Okay. And then in John 7:46.
The officers answered, never man spake like this man.
Okay. So we find this thing, the gracious words that came out of his mouth. Right? And they were treating him very kindly when he spoke graciously, right? No. Never man spake like this man. Something's different. Man, what an awesome opportunity for us to demonstrate the grace of God. When people hurt us, it's our opportunity, folks. I know that's dumb. I know it doesn't mix with society. The greatest avenue you have to reach people in your life, the greatest avenue that you have is when they hurt you. Man, I hate that that's the greatest avenue. Can't we get a great avenue of like that's good, nice, kind? Well, it's where it is. I mean, do you want it to be a small voice or a loud voice? Grace is a huge voice. And when people are unkind to you and you return it with kindness, not the kind that says, I'm going to kill him with kindness. I'm going to kill him with kindness. Oh, wait, we went too far, right? You know not what spirit you're of. We're not trying to kill anybody. You know what we're trying to do instead? We're trying to help them grow. And maybe we're trying to help them grow to salvation. We're trying to see, they got to see something's different. If we're the same as the rest of the world, what have we shown of the things of God? And then we want to pretend like we've got something special that they need. Right? We should speak in kind, wise, truthful, and encouraging words that will minister to those that hear them. When we're at odds with someone, we often use the cliche, I'm going to give them a piece of my... Yeah. Instead of giving them others a piece of our minds, let's give them grace. Give them a piece of your heart. You ever had somebody that you're angry with, upset with? Maybe not angry, but just they annoyed you. You know what I mean? Just annoying. You know? Don't y'all look at me like that. No. You know, that person that annoys you and you just like, every time they come around, you're like, ugh. And then you're just thinking bad thoughts about them already. Right? And you're kind of maybe a little bit harsh, off-putting to them because you really want them to not want to be around you. So you're saying some of this thing. I mean, not in Christian grace, but in, you know what I'm saying? And you're doing this thing, and they come up to you, and they say something like, you're just so sweet to me. I just appreciate you always being so sweet to me and talking to me. You're just like, just kind of crushes. You're just like, oh, man. You know what they did? They gave you, they're hurt, but they're giving you some of their heart, some of their grace, and you just, you're almost kind of like, man, I am such a jerk. You know? And you're the one realized, I'm the punk in this scenario. And what they did is they gave grace, they gave a piece of their heart in a way that's like, you should hate me back. But they don't. Isn't that awesome when people treat us like that? No, it hurts kind of a little bit, doesn't it? You know, it hurts because it reveals to us where we are. The greatest thing we can do, folks, is not give people a piece of our minds. Don't do that, folks. Get rid of that. Get rid of that out of your vocabulary. I'm going to give them a piece of mind. No. I don't care if they're a telemarketer. I get these people. I hate all the phone calls. I get more phone calls that aren't, they're trying to sell me something. I don't know where they live in the world, but they're trying to get money from me. And most of them, I just don't. But every now and then, if I'm sitting there, and I'll take the phone call, and I'm nice to them. Hey, I said, I appreciate your call. I know you got a job to do. I know you're trying to, you know. I said, but I'll tell them something. I said, I've got so many people calling me. I get letters. I get calls. And I've had a couple of them. Some of them, they're like, I'm in the middle of that click, and they're gone. You know, I'm trying to get somebody I can finagle money out of. And some, though, I've had, I don't do this a lot, but I've done it on occasion. Some I have said, man, I understand. I appreciate it. And they'll say, I appreciate you being nice to me. I'm like, hey, you know. Other times I'm just like, hey, I'm not interested. Please take me off your list. Sometimes I'm like that, but I try not to be. Sometimes it's really strange being nice to people that don't deserve. Don't give them a piece of your mind. You better not call me again. Like, man, I'm just trying to work, man. I'm just trying to, you know, just trying to scam me out of some money. I don't know what it is. But proud people cannot minister grace. This is why in that initial moment of hurt, we must reject the temptation to respond in proud anger. Or we will not be able to respond in humble grace. It's two choices. Proud anger, humble grace. You cannot mix those two. You're not going to be humble anger. That doesn't make sense. And you're not going to be proud grace. Consider these hypothetical situations and the effect that gracious words could have. So perhaps you can relate to one of these scenarios. What are your scenarios that could benefit from gracious words? So what happened if you went to your unfair boss after a rough day and said, thanks for all you do around here? Suppose you did not make the sports team, but went to the coach and said, could I help with keeping the stats? What would happen if you wrote a congratulatory letter to the one who got the promotion or the parent of the child who did a little better than yours? Congratulations, getting that job and taking it from you. No. From getting that job that we were both, congratulations to them. What would happen if you sent a sincere thank you note to the teacher who gave you bad news about your child's grades? That'd be awesome. Thank you for telling me about how you're working with my child and how they're struggling. And you took the time to notice. I really appreciate you doing that. Teacher would be like, Elizabeth! Some of y'all know that one. We're talking about grace. Folks, it doesn't fit normal thinking, but I'm going to tell you, it does so much for both. This is how Christians ought to respond. Did y'all hear what I said? That's how Christians ought to respond. And when you don't respond like that, I'm not saying, you mean I'm supposed to write letters? I'm just saying our response. When you don't respond in that avenue, you're not responding like a Christian. You're responding like a heathen. How does that feel? Man, wouldn't that be... So how'd you respond today? Like a heathen or a Christian? we could say a carnal Christian or someone that's carnal, someone that's fleshy. I mean, a heathen is somebody that doesn't think about God, doesn't care about God, doesn't know God, right? So really, if I'm responding that way, think about... Folks, this is big stuff. Because every one of us struggle with this. This is easy preaching. A lot easier for me to stand up here and preach it. I like being the one up here because I'm not the one sitting there thinking. Every time it's like, man, that's me, right? I mean, except for I am. But it feels better when I'm the one saying because I feel like it's at you. And amen? Feels better because I'm like, man, you got y'all, you know. But the truth is, this is easy preaching. This is tough stuff because this is everyday stuff that we have to intentionally decide, I'm going to change how I respond to people. That's tough. It is tough. But I'll tell you, I will say this, the more you do it and the more we do it, the easier it becomes. It becomes more of us. And as we become less like me and more like him, it becomes easier in that way. Let's start this third one just a bit. I don't know how far we'll get this morning, but let's get started with it. Okay, refuse to grieve the Holy Spirit. Refuse to grieve the Holy Spirit. Can somebody read Ephesians? You got their Ephesians 4:30 right there? Yeah, somebody read that for us, please. Okay, to be honest, we probably do not take into consideration the Holy Spirit's presence with us as much as we ought. And yet, He'll never leave us, right? He has sealed us until when? The day of redemption. Because He is always with us, we should be careful that none of our actions cause Him to sorrow or are offensive. So Ephesians 4:30 tells us we bring grief, which really means sorrow or heaviness, to the Holy Spirit when we refuse to give, when we refuse to forgive. It's weird to think we bring God heaviness. We bring God grief. It's a weird emotion to assigned to God, isn't it? I don't. You say, well, how does that work? What's the theology of all that? I don't know. I'll be honest with you. It's a little bit. I try to get into the mind of God at best, but He's so much higher than me. But the Bible tells what it tells us. Is that when God is grieved because of our sin? There's a famous verse that so often gets misused. And it annoys me, but I let it go, people, whatever. And it's the shortest verse in the Bible, which is what? Jesus wept. Jesus was so sad because his friend had died. Lazarus died. He was so sad because of that, right? That's how it's often presented. Jesus knew he was fixing to bring him back from the dead. He wasn't sad because he was dead. Come on. I hate when people are like, are we reading this? Or are we just, it's a nice little pithy verse. Jesus was so compassionate with us. Yes, but that's not what that's there. You know why he was weeping? Why Jesus wept? Because the people wouldn't trust him still. All those around him were still not trusting him. What grieves the Lord isn't our pains and our hurts. No, he allows these things to come because he knows they're going to help us. God isn't burdened because he's allowing something to come into your life to grow you. Come on. What he's grieved with is when we don't respond in the way that's going to help us. And instead of doing what he's commanded, instructed us, we do the thing that's the opposite. It grieves him. That's what we find here. It's grieved and there's heaviness with it. Wow, what a strange thing. So verse 31 further describes what specifically grieves him. So A under that is bitterness grieves God. Bitterness grieves God. Okay, somebody read that one for us, verse 31. Okay, so let's define these words, okay? Bitterness. Let's start with bitterness. Bitterness means extreme enmity, okay? Which really means this, grudge. Like, can we define enmity? It means the enemy, But it really means this: when you're treating them as an enemy, it means this, to have a grudge or hatred. It means to have extreme hatred. That's the word bitterness. Well, I can be bitter without extremely hating someone. Well, you might think that, but what comes out is that extreme hate. When I say things that later on I have to say, I didn't really mean that. No, what you, at that moment, you hated me as much as you could hate me. I've had people say really angry things at me. Really angry things. You ever had somebody say really vile things at you that didn't even know you? In this neighborhood. I've told you all about it before. In this neighborhood, Miss Liz. No, I'm kidding. But in this neighborhood, Brother Bob and I knocking on a door, and we're just giving a track to his car. And this guy, just the language, I don't have enough question marks and exclamation asterisks to say what he said, but he just, explosion out there. And, you know, he was, honestly, you'd say, well, he wasn't really angry at you. I know he wasn't angry at me. He didn't know me. You got to know. So for me, here's where I take, when somebody gets really angry at me and they don't know me, I'm like, I'm not taking that personal. You know, when they do know me, I still say, I ain't taking that personal. I don't know. Anyway, so he did this a little bit, and you know, who is he angry at? He's angry at God. He had enmity with God, and that's this grudge and this hatred, and it came out towards me. But this is what bitterness looks like. Just like wanted somebody as the enemy. The second word is wrath. Wrath means fierce anger. I mean, you ever seen somebody speak with a fierce anger, like you've almost wonder if you even know that person? I mean, somebody you know well. And all of a sudden, you're like, I don't know this version of that person. Something in, they are, man, it's weird. It's almost, and I think we talked about this last week, and maybe it's almost like they're possessed. This fierce anger, which really leads to the third one, anger. What's anger? Anger means this: blowing up with violent emotions. Right? Face turning different colors. Veins coming out on the side of the neck, you know what I mean? And smoke coming out of the ear. No, that's just not, that's on the cartoons. But you know what I mean? And just all of a sudden, and all this comes together. These three often go together in our lives. They are sins that tend to feed each other. Usually when we are allowing them in our lives, we feel justified in doing so. Right? Yet God commands us to put them away. He said, let all bitterness, that grudge, that hatred, that extreme wrath, that fierce anger, and then anger itself, that blowing up with violent emotions. We don't start with blowing up, do we? I mean, if you start with blowing up, you're already holding a lot of bitter in, all right? You're already, and so somebody comes up and just pokes it a little bit. You're like, whoa. You ever seen people out in public at like the grocery store all of a sudden, and they're walking, you're walking down the aisle or something, and all of a sudden like a mom just explodes, like, oh yeah, you know, just like, and you just watch the little kid, all the little kid did is you're like, man, you want to go over and like intercede a little bit. That kid's probably been doing a lot of stuff to get to that point. Mom's been trying to hide it in, is like, that's it. And then you'll see this one cracks me up too. All of a sudden, you see a mom, all right, we're leaving, grabs that arm, and they're just going out of the store, and you're just like, I'm like, way to go, mom, get them out of here. But, you know, something's going on already inside there. So we don't start with that blowing up with violent emotion. We don't start there, right? We start with somebody becomes our enemy in our mind. We're angry, extremely, we've made them extremely our enemy. There's that enmity, there's grudge, that hatred. And then that fierce rage just starts building. And then the anger actually is kind of just popping the balloon, isn't it? And when you pop the balloon, it goes all over. And so these three want to go together. You know the greatest thing to do is don't let bitterness take a hold. Wouldn't you like to never explode on people again? Wouldn't that be great? I am never going to lose my business to anybody again. I don't ever want to have to go back and apologize for being out of my mind. I don't want to scare people. If I seen all you folks here, you're like, man, these are... If I seen you in this, I wouldn't know you. Right? If you see me in this, you're like, I don't think I want that guy to be my pastor anymore. Right? If you've seen how I get angry at Kate, when somebody gets there, it's like you don't even know them anymore. And I've dealt with folks like this, and you're just like, you're... And you know what I found sometimes? Once you cross that line with people, it's hard to come back to a regular relationship. It's hard. Don't let bitterness have its place. Father, I do pray that you'd help us, Lord, with this. And this is challenging stuff, Lord. And Lord, I don't imagine anybody in this room this morning would have any desire to grieve you. Yet, Lord, there's times when we allow what other people do to us cause us to behave in a way that actually turns it on you. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, encourage us, bring these thoughts and scriptures to our hearts and minds that we might begin shifting more and more away from bitterness and towards grace. Lord, pray that you'd bless now the time to follow. In Jesus' name.